With what shall we come before the Lord?
We come with grief at the fighting that sees no end. We come with despair at the wars upon wars. We come with longing for all conflict to cease.
With what shall we bow before God on high?
We bow with sorrow. We bow with guilt. We bow with the knowledge of our warring ways. We are bowed by the violent, unkind, divisive words we have spoken, the arguments we have fueled, the sparks of malice we have not extinguished, the injustices we have silently witnessed and from which we have walked on by.
Shall we come before God with burnt offerings?
Burnt cities, burnt homes, burnt military targets, burnt schools.
Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams?
Thousands of missiles, thousands of guns, thousands upon billions of dollars.
With 10,000 rivers of oil?
Rivers of oil, rivers of blood, rivers of tears.
Shall we give our firstborn for our transgressions?
And our secondborn and our thirdborn, the little ones and the forgotten ones, the unnamed ones and the unmourned ones. And how many more will die for our transgressions?
Shall we give the fruits of our bodies for the sins of our souls?
Our children's lives for our inability to dwell in peace?
God has told us, mortal as we are, what is good.
What is wholesome? What is fine? What is constructive? What is life-giving? What is hopeful? What is beautiful?
What does the Lord require of us?
Need from us, plead with us, demand of us, insist upon, implore us.
To do justice.
Rebalance the inequalities, redistribute the resources, recalibrate the power until the cry is, life is fair.
Love kindness.
Cherish the voices that speak gently. Honor the hands that help. Emulate the hearts that are open. Follow the feet that walk the extra mile. Celebrate the time that is shared generously.
Walk in humility,
knowing we don't know it all.
There is always more to learn.
We need each other.
We are made for community.
Great leaders are great servants, and peace is not.
Peace is not.
Peace is not an impossible dream. Amen. Thank you, readers. Our gospel reading comes from the 9th chapter of Matthew. Jesus is having supper at the home of a tax collector. And as Jesus sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." The end of this worship service will occur on Eastern Standard Time, anyway, on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, exactly 100 years since the 1918 armistice was signed to end World War I, which was billed as the war to end all wars. And obviously it didn't work. That war did not end all wars. Nations have been at war almost continually since then, and hundreds of millions of lives have been lost. As a species, I want us to ask, who are we? It's nearly a week since America's November 4th midterm elections, which, if nothing else, have shown us so very clearly how irrevocably split this nation is, politically and culturally. One commentator said, "We're no longer in a Cold War with Russia as much as we are in the midst of a cold civil war in our own nation." As a nation, I want us to ask, who are we? Years ago, a prophet named Micah looked around at his nation and asked the same question. Who are we? Because when he looked around, he saw this. He saw that the wealthy and the powerful were using their positions of influence and opportunity to deprive the vulnerable of their land, their homes, their property. He had a formula, Micah. He talked about the widow, the orphan, and the alien in our midst. He also was talking about tenant farmers and a lot of other folk. He saw that those in authority were manufacturing approval for their selfish actions by appointing prophets who were yes men to the king and to those in power. He saw corruption of the legal process and perversion of moral instruction that were leading the people away from what God desired. And he saw that merchants were cheating customers, the rich were violent toward the poor, and lying was commonplace. Now, I know that is completely unlike our own day, right? So I hope you're okay with hearing something as, you know, as alien as that. That was a joke. It sounds a lot like today. The people of Israel in Micah's day were mistakenly trying to claim their identity as chosen people of God by the way they did their distinctive religious duties that they did at home and that they did at the temple, keeping the Sabbath holy by not doing labor, keeping the dietary laws, making the correct sacrifices, doing the religious thing properly and in order. They did their Sabbath religious duty in order to placate God, to bribe God with good deeds, and to make God happy with them. And on Monday, they were back to acting like every pagan culture around them, abusing the poor, the widow, the orphan, the tenant farmer, the alien in their midst. Micah was asking, who are we? We are one day a week religious people. And the prophet Micah said, no. You don't get your identity, you don't get your answer to who are we from your religious duties. Whether you're almost 3,000-year-old Israelites or 21st century Methodists, we don't get our answer to who we are from our religious duties. You get your answer to who you are from answering the question, whose you are. Whose you are. For Micah's hearers almost 3,000 years ago and today, Micah wanted us to know that we have an ongoing story that answers who and whose we are. We have the story. And we've been going through it slowly throughout the fall. An ongoing story that describes whose we are. Creation that said, we are beloved and precious and made in the image of God. We have a story of being called to be people of justice and peace. We have the story of liberation from slavery in Egypt. From the stories of our mothers and fathers in faith, Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Miriam. You are people of the story. God says, I called you, I formed you, I saved you, I brought you here to be my people so I can be your God. Everything else pales in comparison. And this God that Micah describes is not a pagan deity that requires sacrifice and religious observance and obedience. Micah describes a loving God of justice and mercy. Micah answers, who are we, by answering the question, whose are we? There's a wonderful old rabbinic story that goes like this. And these are real folk here. When Rabbi Menachem Mendel was a small child, his grandfather, Rabbi Schnur Zalman, who began the Shabbat flavor of Hasidism back a bunch of years ago, when Rabbi Menachem Mendel was a small child, his grandfather, Rabbi Schnur Zalman, held him on his lap. And he asked him, like grandpas do, where is Zadie? Zadie is Yiddish for grandfather. Where is grandfather? Where is Zadie? And the child touched the grandfather's nose. No, the rabbi said, that is Zadie's nose, but where is Zadie? The child touched his grandfather's beard. No, that is Zadie's beard. But where is Zadie? The child crawled off his grandfather's lap, ran into the next room, and shouted, Zadie! And Rabbi Schnur Zalman went into the room, and there his grandchild gleefully pointed at Rabbi Zalman and said, there is Zadie. God is the one who comes. God is the one who is there when we call. God is the one in relationship. God is the one who yearns to be intimate. God is the one who has given us everything. God is the one who is delighted when we respond. God is delighted when we say yes. Micah wants us to know that everything we do is a response to what God has already done for us. We can love because God first loved us. We know what mercy is because God has been merciful to us. We know what justice is because God has been just with us. Yes, God knows everything about our unworthy thoughts and actions, and yet God loves us. God knows and feels all the pain of our actions and what our actions have caused to others. And God knows that sometimes we're not even sorry. But God loves us anyway. God adopts us as sons and daughters anyway. And God calls each one of us to help transform the world a little bit anyway. There's a theologian named Stanley Hauerwas, Methodist. No, he's not Methodist. Methodist-ish. And someone asked him to say what the gospel was in one sentence. And he said, "We're all sons of bitches, but God loves us anyway." That's a little harsher than I'd put it. But God loves us anyway. God is whose we are. We belong to God. And so we can respond to that relationship. Not with sacrifices, not with burnt offerings and the right prayers and dour Sunday faces, but rather with living lives of gratitude and awe. Lives where we try to reflect a bit of God's reality toward others. That's why Micah cries out in our reading today, "God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Justice and kindness, walking humbly, the ethics of gratitude. People are always asking, "What do you want from me, God?" Maybe you've done a late night bargain like that. But God simply wants us to take care of each other. Doing justice, do justice. The Hebrew is mishpat. And that justice in the Hebrew sense means working for fairness and equality for all people. It's taking particular care of the weak and the powerless so they're not being taken advantage of or exploited by the powerful. Mishpat, doing justice. Do kindness, chesed, loving kindness, covenant kindness. It has to do with love and loyalty and faithfulness. It is the key element in all our relationships, whether our relationships with a spouse or a child, with a nation, with a creation, loving kindness. And walking humbly with God is simply remembering that we belong to God. And God has given us all we are and have. It is a listening for God's guidance as we live our lives so that we can learn to be the people God has created us and called us to be. It is answering who we are by remembering whose we are. And in the brief reading from Matthew's gospel, Jesus hints at the same response. Religious authorities who come to him are operating out of a theology that says God is holy, set apart, different, requiring special rules and behaviors and sacrifices, and so we're called to be holy, set apart, requiring special rules and behaviors and sacrifices. And so it's logical for them to come to this upstart rabbi who's hanging out with prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners, and the sick, and the ugly, and the broken, and the messed up, and they say, "What are you doing having table fellowship with people like this? Birds of a feather and all that." Now, Jesus never would disagree with the ontological reality that God is holy. But Jesus sees holiness as being manifest not in being set apart from humanity, but by being a part of humanity in mercy and compassion. And so while the Pharisees are operating out of a rule from Leviticus, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy," Jesus is operating out of the rule, "Be compassionate as Abba in heaven is compassionate." Echoing Hosea, God requires mercy, not sacrifice. Compassion, not blue-blooded holiness. do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. Who are we? Micah asks. And today, we answer. This morning, Leif and Alyssa baptized their daughter, Paige, and they answered the question, who they are, by acknowledging whose they are, and responding in promises to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly. Today is the day that we, members and friends of Essex Center United Methodist Church, will make pledges to support the 2019 ministries that we are committed to. This is not a religious sacrifice. A pledge does not make you holy. Sorry. In enabling ministry to happen, though, our pledges do proclaim who we are by recognizing whose we are. We pray that the pledges we bring forward today may be all about doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. Friends, we belong to God. God touches our lives with love and sustenance and strength. God blesses us, and we respond to those blessings with our hearts, our souls, and our lives. Our response to those blessings will make a difference in our broken world. Our doing justice, our loving mercy, our walking humbly create ripples of difference that continue on and on throughout our lifetimes and beyond our lives. So I invite you to discover who and whose you are as we make our pledges for ministry in 2019. Amen.